Welcome back to Cannabis Tech Talks, the podcast where industry meets innovation. I'm your host, Aaron Vaughn. Today, we're talking about cannabis on a global scale, and there's no better person to help us make sense of that landscape than Alex Rogers. He's the founder and executive producer of the International Cannabis Business Conference, better known as ICBC. What started as a single event in San Francisco has grown into a globe-spanning platform that brings together policymakers, investors, entrepreneurs, and scientists from every corner of the cannabis world. In this episode, we're unpacking the takeaways from ICBC Berlin 2025, arguably the most international cannabis event of the year. Alex shares what's changing on the European front, how ICBC continues to bridge the gap between business and legalization, and understanding why the global cannabis conversation is more important than ever for operators back home. Hey, Alex, thanks for joining me today.
It's great to be here, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
So reflecting on ICBC Berlin 2025, what moments or developments stood out to you as particularly impactful for the European cannabis industry?
I think the whole elephant in the room is probably the medical scene, which is going down in Germany now. Basically, last April, about 14 months ago, they took cannabis off the narcotics list. And actually, we have we just published an article saying imports have gone up about 500% since last year. So the main market driver in Europe right now traditionally has been the German medical market since 2017, right? We had the CBD boom, as everybody knows about also, which was in Europe as well. But now that cannabis is off the narcotics list, we saw a big trajectory for medical cannabis patients. Like, oh, there was maybe 200,000 at before 14 months ago when the law changes. Now we're saying, okay, maybe at around 1 million maybe or something like that. We don't know. There's no uniform registry, but we can extrapolate those numbers from certain data. So you're creating this de facto rec market in Germany under the auspices of medical. And that's the real deal. And that's what's going on. And it's cool because it feels completely legal. Of course, Germany has decrim also, so it's always fun to be there because you can just smoke your spliff up on the street and without, you know, we did the event this year and there was 300 cops staying at the hotel also. It's the biggest hotel in Europe on the continent, and it wasn't, you know, people were tripping out for a second and then they realized, oh shit, this. It's all legal. So the standout thing, that's what probably stood out the most, is obviously the medical market. It's booming. It can't be understated. It's the biggest booming cannabis market in the world right now, I reckon. And then just to be able to smoke your joint in front of 300 cops with impunity is pretty cool.
Who would have thought you'd be able to do that 20 years ago, right? Anywhere.
For sure. For sure. It's a small miracle.
So, the recent decriminalization has been a significant shift, as you just said. How do you see this influencing the broader European cannabis market over the next few years?
Yeah. So it influences the broader European cannabis market and the broader international market is now, you know, it's helped save the Canadian market or a certain aspect of the Canadian market, I should say, right? Is that I think maybe, I don't know, 60-70% of all imported cannabis is from Canada, right, to Germany. So I know that wasn't your question, but it just is a relevant digression into the international sphere of things. Like saying even Colombia is doing, Australia, you know, there's Denmark, Holland, Portugal. All these countries are now pushing into Germany. So some of those are European countries, Denmark, Holland, Portugal. They're benefiting from this extremely. And then from a public policy perspective, Europe's always going to be a patchwork, no matter how hard they try to make it all one uniform federated state of Europe, or at least for the next millennial. And so I'm not sure how uniform everything can get, or I don't know how many people will copy this German model. But I think if a few other states do it, or countries, states, as they call it in Europe sometimes, get on board with this de facto medical model, taking cannabis off the narcotics list, then I actually think that's the fissure, right? That will open up the fissure right there. Germany's the fissure, and irregardless of who does it, it's almost better if a smaller country does do something like it, because then the bigger companies will be like, oh, well, this is the way. And Slovenia looks like they might be the next country to do that. So that's big. That's pretty big news. And then there's companies like Holland who want a medical market, obviously, and want a rec market, but they have this, what we would maybe call a harm prevention model. You know, the coffee shop model could be considered a harm prevention model. And so it's this, they have this whole tolerated thing too. Spain, kind of the same way, a little bit different in terms of their social clubs and whatnot. So Spain and Holland are going to be harder to regulate, in my opinion, even though the irony is that they've been more open in the past traditionally.
Right.
They're actually going to be harder markets to regulate within the state. Maybe they'll have export models that will go out to other and service other states, but in terms of the own public policy and the changing or the modernization of their cannabis laws specifically, it's going to be kind of convoluted if what's at least passed is prologue.
And I'm just going to ask you to speculate for a second. Which countries do you see being the next ones to come online for recreational cannabis?
So recreational. So what do you mean? You mean in countries or European countries? Or?
Sorry, European countries. Yeah, yeah. Specifically, okay. Adult use recreational model.
All right. So it's crucial to understand that the European Union does not allow for recreational cannabis. So we can get our semantics clear here if we want to talk about the de facto market or what's the next country to do what Germany did or whatever, which is the closest thing we have to recreational. Basically, they did a de facto medical system along with a decrim where you can have three plants and anybody can grow three plants in their house and have 25 grams on them on the street, right? So that's I'm actually so in love with this model after I've seen how it's gone down in Germany that I feel that it's kind of like the days of yesteryear in America when we saw what happened when rec came to a lot of states and it did mess up a lot of things. Yeah, the cops didn't have probable cause to search you anymore. That's huge, right? For example, but we saw consolidation. We saw not as many mom and pops could be in the game like they were with the medical and so on. So I like this system how it is because it actually seems like these are the golden years right now. And before it gets uber regulated through rec, and that's the irony, right? I used to tell Europeans, it's ironic that the medical cannabis market in America is underregulated and the rec market is overregulated, right? So people, in general, so California, Oregon, for example. So those are, so I didn't think that would be the same analogy in Europe, but indeed it was, right? So now you have this underregulated medical market of sorts, which we're not sure how long it's going to last or how it's going to get tweaked or whatever. But these are golden times right now because everybody can be protected if they want. There's even added protections if you have your medical card, which wouldn't have if it was rec. Like driving and things like that, right? So so I'm in love with this model. So back to your question, it's important to understand the EU actually won't allow for adult use licensed seed to sale regulation, right? They won't. A country could do it, right? Like Canada did it, and they weren't supposed to do it because there was UN stuff, right? But the EU adheres to the UN drug treaties, right? But yet they, because of how they're administratively set up, they can be punitive to their member states in that they can sue them and charge them fines, withhold other appropriations that have been allocated to them previously, for example. So there can't be, so when is rec going to happen in Europe? Don't know, and I actually don't totally care because of all the aforementioned reasons. So I think the countries that are going to actually really come online right now are Slovenia, I believe, is coming online. Well, I think they're going to be top in Europe. I think that the Czech Republic will come online. I believe that Poland's medical is coming online, right? You know, there's, because the left is so fucking stupid and they went too far left, they pushed too many people to the right, right? And so now the right in Europe is coming on, and whether you like them or not, I'm not, but one thing they're not for is cannabis, right? So the right in America is pretty much for cannabis. They're not totally against it. You know, you get a certain aspect of it, but the right has come around, right? For the most part. And you have a certain libertarian right that was there before the Democrats ever were, right? But that doesn't exist in Europe. So the conservatives are anti-cannabis. And so that's what we're like, it's the devil's lettuce, old school conservative style, like we used to know, like some Nancy Reagan shit or whatever.
Right.
And so that's the that's an issue right now. So we've all these places, we don't want to see any regressions. We want to see it going forward. And I think with smart, you know, with education, with building the industry, with creating a, you know, I don't want to say a lobby, but an industry, a force, right? Then and show those economics then of the situation, show that society is not falling apart, then I think we're going to be okay. And hopefully even the conservatives in Europe can have some type of voice of, will be some type, understand some type of voice of reason on this issue.
It kind of makes a case for countries, you know, legislating themselves and not being beholden to, you know, a larger organization like the EU. I mean, I know you said the model kind of works right now with medical plus decriminalization, but that does still create a certain barrier of entry, right?
Yes and no, right? So what's your, are you talking about a barrier for a business or a barrier?
A barrier of entry for business. For businesses when, you know, if you have adult use, you know, there are not as many regulations you have to go through, you know, to be able to get a license, right?
Yeah, so I would argue the contrary. That's what I was saying, is that if you look in, let's say, California or Oregon, for example, right? To get a medical cannabis license and to grow medical cannabis was, I think you just might've paid $100 in Oregon. I'm not even sure what it was. It was, you were just assigned by your patients basically. Right. And so it was nothing, right. To become a rec grower, you had to now have all these licenses and da, 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 da. So for medical, it was underregulated in Oregon and it worked actually. And it was a wonderful system. And I'm not, and believe me, I'm not advocating not to have European countries have an adult use system. Eventually we have to go to that. And that's what's going to, and that will happen in Europe, but it's going to happen a little bit differently than one might imagine. It's going to likely happen through what they call pilot projects, which are happening in Switzerland. And some are now, a few of them are now popping up in Germany. And it's these pilot projects that are the gateway to recreational in Europe. So I'm just such a political science geek that I know the reality on the ground. So when I see the medical and the rec, I'm like, or the decrim, I'm like, this is amazing. And would it be more, would there be more opportunities for business if it was rec, just because there would be more users, right? That's how I look at it. But in terms of entry to market, I don't see there being there's unlimited license in Germany. There was, used to have to do a tender. Now anybody can apply to get your domestic grower's license in Germany. So this is why when I talk about this de facto model, it's, to me, it's the golden years. It protects a lot of people. It because there is decrim also, and it slows down consolidation. You know, I'm just like kind of, I run the biggest industry conference in Europe, but I'm a roots man. You know, I'm a people's person, and I like community people, and I like to see the most people benefit when it comes to public policy. I like to see the most people benefit from it. And so I look at this that way.
Yeah, it's a super interesting take and not one I've heard before, but you can see the results of what's happened in the US with MSOs kind of coming in and, you know, these vertically integrated companies just kind of taking over. So, I mean, there definitely is an argument for it. You know, back to ICBC, you know, it's grown tremendously since its inception. What challenges have you faced in expanding the conference globally and how have you overcome them?
Great question. Like I said, I'm just a social science scientist and a musician. So now I run the biggest trade show for business in the Eastern Hemisphere. And there were some hard knocks, you know what I'm saying, Aaron? And basically, I'm just like, build it, they will come, and let the chips fall as they may. No. And so we've been just over the years just taking much more direct interest in every little aspect of every little aspect. And we've been really listening to the feedback from all the attendees, from all the businesses, from all the exhibitors, from all the sponsors. And we've just been adapting and making it a funner, more interactive, more dynamic, more expressly curated event every year. So it hasn't been easy. And, you know, it's been a big learning curve for me for sure. However, we're figuring it out because necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm not sure we would have been able to build the nuclear bomb if we didn't have the Nazis and on our ass. So
very philosophical. I like it. I like it, Aaron.
What trends or innovations are you most excited about, you know, after the conference and kind of seeing how European cannabis and global cannabis is going? And, you know, you spoke a little bit about it, but how is ICBC adapting to those changes?
Yeah, well, we give away actually free tickets to all pharmacies, German cannabis pharmacies. The next year, we're going to be giving also free tickets away to all the grow shops, right? So one thing that we think that this, now that there's this legal industry, the underground industry now, we think it's important that they come into the B2B sphere and they're not just at the consumer events and that there's a real place for them at the B2B sphere. So we're giving out tickets to all grow shops in Europe this year. And attracting a lot of grow companies as well. So we see that could be trending. Obviously, the ancillary, you know, we have a lot of ancillary businesses at the ICBC that are servicing this market. And that's trending big time.
Yeah, and, you know, initiatives like that kind of help these smaller operations grow as well, right?
What
you know, any ancillary businesses that you're helping out, if you're giving out free tickets, you know, it kind of helps their businesses.
Yeah, we don't give tickets to the ancillaries. They're all our exhibitors. We give tickets to the basically what we do is we give tickets to the buyers of cannabis and cannabis products. And that's the grow shops and the German pharmacies. And so the ancillaries are there to just be to service this ecosystem now and really push it along.
Got it. Understood. So, you know, looking ahead, you've got ICBC 2025 in the rear view. You know, what do you expect in the next 5 years for ICBC? And how do you plan to continue influencing cannabis policy and business globally?
Yeah, great question. So we are just doing only Berlin right now. It's such a big event that it takes my entire staff all year to focus on it. And we're likely going to be twice the size. It'll likely be twice the size next year in terms of attendance and another half again the size next year in terms of the expo. So we're growing exponentially. And all eyes are on this Berlin event to make it basically the MJ Biz of the East, a soup to nuts B2B event, high level, high engagement. And, you know, that's kind of our, you know, our goal is to expand to maybe, you know, we're in a certain venue that we don't really want to leave, even if we get bigger or And so we just would make it, it just becomes more of an exclusive thing then. So we can get up to about 10,000 attendees. We're expecting over 5,000 next year. And then maybe the year after that, it could be close to 10,000 attendees. And that's really our cap. And so I'll see what we do then, because at that juncture, then we have the ability to go into other jurisdictions if we need to. But irregardless of all that, when it comes to public policy, I fight for public policy wherever and whenever I can for cannabis. So, you know, I always say when the laws change, the battle's just begun, right? So we don't want to, we want to be vigilant, you know, we want to just keep our eyes on the prize and not have this regress in any way. And then ultimately it's a human rights vision where hemp, we come into a hemp economy. And I think that maybe there's a, you know, we have to start pushing the hemp economy more. And so I think when I've done what I've done for ICBC, then I reckon, you know, we'll go and we'll just bring the revolution, you know, however it is with hemp. And of course, a lot of other things too, community-based living, communityism, you know, the opposite of globalism, communityism, and figure out how to just feed the people of the earth and give people a clean, good quality life.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. So how do you feel about the current U.S. legislation landscape, you know, especially with the new administration, with hemp, you know, obviously taking off, but it looks like there might be some new laws being passed in states that are going to ban certain hemp products. So, yeah, how do you feel about sort of the future of the American industry? And as compared to Germany and the rest of Europe?
Yeah, good question. Great questions. So America, they're in a rut right now with the whole cannabis thing. We need a change. The feds need to act on something. My guess is, and when it comes to cannabis policy, I think the Trump administration is more into the states' rights thing. Keep it to the states, keep it to the states. Whether they'll federally legalize, that probably won't happen. What they could do is reschedule, deschedule, and then they could move on 280E, right? And or banking reform and tax. And so all they really need to do, in my opinion, is the 280E thing and let the states just move, have the banking. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think that's the least politically intrusive, the smartest, most efficient thing to do for the cannabis industry right now. And of course, there's a lot of controversy about rescheduling it or descheduling it. I mean, obviously, I and I thinks it's like, I think it's like tomatoes myself, but it's an herb. It's a healing herb to I and I. So a very benign, safe substance. But if they reschedule it, then does big pharma, again, we have that same argument as we think we're progressing with policy, you know, the devil's in the details, as they say. And, we have to kind of be playing some 3D chess here to see what's really going on politically, financially with these things when these policies get changed. So I think that, and I actually think 280E is the thing that's going to happen. I think it will happen. I think it could happen under the Trump administration also. That being said, I'm not holding my breath for anything.
Sure. Yeah. No, that seems like a logical take. Well, I appreciate it so much. And thanks again for your time. And I look forward to seeing everybody at ICBC 2026.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Join the leading minds in cannabis science, medicine, and safety testing at the CanMed 25 Innovation and Investment Summit, taking place June 17th to the 20th at Wyndham Grand Rainforest Beach and Resort. If you're passionate about the future of cannabinoid medicine, cultivation technology, or lab testing, CanMed is the event you need to attend. This is where leading physicians, researchers, growers, and entrepreneurs converge to share the breakthrough research and real-world applications that are shaping the industry. Don't miss this exceptional lineup of oral and poster presentations, interactive workshops, and unique networking opportunities, all set in a stunning beachfront location. Tickets are going fast, so head to canmedevents.com to register and use promo code CM25CTT to get $500 off the full summit package.